Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about along the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And so Jesus sat down, called his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be first must be last and be a servant of all." The question about greatness has not gone away since Jesus' day. From Muhammad Ali's boast a generation ago about being the greatest, to the best-known slogan of the 2016 election, "Make America Great Again," we continue to discuss and debate just what constitutes greatness. Now, please note that I reference these cultural slogans not to evaluate them or endorse them or critique them. Our church is, as you know, fiercely nonpartisan, welcoming Republican, Democrats, liberals, and conservatives, and to demonstrate just how far we go with inclusivity, both Vikings fans and those who cheer for the Packers. No, the question of what constitutes greatness has not gone away since Jesus' day. Just to set the scene a bit from Mark's gospel, Jesus has just told his disciples that he will be betrayed, killed, and raised again, and they do not understand or believe what he is saying, even though this is the second time he's told them. Which is actually a pretty common theme in the Gospels, as the disciples regularly appear pretty clueless. In this instance, not only are they confused by his words, they're also confused about greatness, or at least Jesus seems to think so. Apparently, they were bickering while they were walking from one town to another, so much that it grabbed his attention. And so he asks, "What were you arguing about along the way?" And they're silent. They're embarrassed to admit that they were arguing about which one of them was the greatest. Perhaps they were boasting about which one of them got to spend the most time with Jesus. Or maybe which one of them had seen the greatest miracle. Or perhaps which one had performed the greatest miracle. We don't really know, but what we do know is that Jesus is not impressed. And so he tells them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last and be a servant to all." This is definitely not what they have been taught, and it's not what most of us are taught either. Greatness, we assume, implies power, accomplishment, fame, wealth, and all the other things in this life that allow you to do things, to influence people, to make things go your way. But that is not what Jesus says. To drive his point home, he scoops up a young child into his arms and tells them that whoever welcomes a child like this one is actually welcoming him. And suddenly it seems like Jesus has gone from saying something a little odd, to be first, you have to be last, to saying something that sounds actually kind of crazy. In the first century world, you see, children were of no account. Of course, their parents loved them, but they had no rights, no influence, no standing. They were utterly dependent, utterly vulnerable, utterly powerless. So how could caring for a child constitute greatness? It's crazy. Or is it? Think for just a moment about this. What if Jesus is right? I mean, what if we imagine that greatness isn't about power and wealth and fame and all the rest, but instead we measured greatness by how much we love others, by how much we take care of others, by how much we serve others? What kind of world would we live in? Can you imagine if people were regularly trying to outdo each other in acts of kindness? If there were competitions about who was willing to be last so that others could go first? If there were reality TV shows that followed people around as they tried to help as many people as possible, what kind of world would we live in? I don't know about you, but I think it would be a pretty great world. I've confessed on a couple of occasions that I'm a little embarrassed about just how little I knew about Mount Olivet when I was asked to consider the call to become senior pastor. I knew it was big. I knew the services were short, and I knew Pastor Paul Youngdahl, but that's about it. I didn't know about Mount Olivet Careview Home or the Mount Olivet home where our seniors receive such exceptional care. I didn't know about Mount Olivet Day services, where both the oldest and the youngest in our community are drawn together in an environment of love and kindness. I didn't know about Cathedral of the Pines, where our kids discover how much God and this church loves them. And I'd never even heard about Rolling Acres, where those with developmental or intellectual disabilities are treated with dignity and respect and encouraged and helped to live rich and full lives. What do all these institutions have in common? They're all expressions of this church trying to live out Jesus' conviction that true greatness lies in service by taking care of the vulnerable, of those with little influence or power, those that the culture is most likely to leave behind. Now, what about more personally? How are we doing with measuring our success, our greatness, not by what we take in, but by what we give away? Not by the influence we wield, but by the service we offer. Not by accumulating more stuff, but by sharing what we have with others. Not by being first, but by being eager to serve and see others move ahead. This is hard stuff. It is not what the culture, whether in the first century or the 21st century, teaches. And so it was hard for the disciples, and it is hard for us. They didn't understand what Jesus meant, and so they fell into the trap of putting themselves ahead of everyone else. And we will often do the same, looking out for ourselves rather than others, trusting less in God than we do in our wealth, shutting others out rather than letting them in, seeking our welfare first rather than that of others. But here's the thing, that road the disciples were traveling with Jesus when they fell into their petty arguments about who is the greatest, that road is the road to Jerusalem, which means that even while they misunderstand or don't believe or just plain ignore what Jesus says, at the very same time, Jesus is walking the road to Jerusalem and the cross willingly in order to sacrifice everything for them and for us. Sometimes I think there are three short prayers that pretty much make up the Christian life and that we should definitely pray when we consider Jesus' teaching. The first is in response to his countercultural command that the first must be last and that true greatness lies in service. Lord, help us. The second comes when we fall short of our ideals, giving in to insecurity and fear and looking out for ourselves first. Lord, have mercy. And the third is when we realize that even as we fall short, yet still Jesus died for us. Still, Jesus lives for us. Still, he loves us more than anything. Thanks be to God. For Jesus does not give up on his disciples, not then, not now, and still offers us a different vision of greatness that can lead us to imagine and work toward a whole different world. And so Jesus sat down, called his disciples at Capernaum and Mount Olivet, and said, "Whoever wants to be first must be last and be a servant to all. Lord, help us. Lord, have mercy. Thanks be to God. Amen."